It's now time for our presentation. Vincent Murphy is a Regina-based playwright, professional live stage story performer, presenter, and entertainer. He has performed for audiences throughout Saskatchewan, across Canada, and overseas. His performance titles include Glad for Our Lives, The Regina Tornado, On to Ottawa, The Regina Riot, Not Who, But What, W-A-T-T, The Story of George Watt, Regina's Man of the Trees, Sam Steele, Pride of the Northwest Mounted Police, and his most recent touring performance entitled Tommy Goes to War, in which he plays four characters who relate the experiences of World War I. Vincent is also a certified life skills coach and English language tutor. He is now into his 11th year as a volunteer English additional language tutor with the Regina Public Library Literacy Services Branch. There we go. He also tutors whole person literacy for corporate and individual clients. And Vincent has hosted a variety of programs on CJTR, Regina Community Radio, for over 10 years, including his current show, On the Air, which features a mix of music and musings. It is broadcast on Tuesdays from 1 to 3 p.m. As temporary, fleeting, and transient as life is, Vincent has created a somewhat enduring legacy in the form of a stone sun circle, which is located on the site of St. Michael's Retreat near Lumsden. So this morning, Vincent will offer his thoughts under the title, Everything Under the Sun.
Is that me? Yeah, I don't know. I'll do the best I can here. What I got to work with, which is me. Is this going to take long for you to get this here organized?
Just another minute.
I'll just move this around here a little bit. I have to apologize that Vincent Murphy is a little delayed here. But he'll be here soon, I hope. My name is Phillips, Cedric Phillips. Yes. I wanted to give you a bit of information about the sun. I don't know what he was going to talk about himself, but the sun, you see, it's 4.6 billion years old, approximately, and it's a great thing in the universe. It's a huge sphere of exceedingly hot plasma is called ionized gas. You may have had that problem yourself sometime. Now, if you were to take all of the planets in this galaxy here, with Venus and Mars and all that other stuff, you'd find that still is quite small. When you put them all together, the sun is 750 times bigger than to all of them planets together. Yeah. There's a nuclear reaction thing going on there at the center of the sun. It's blowing things all to pieces. And it's producing the helium from the hydrogen, and this generates all kinds of colossal amounts of energy. And this is gradually carried outward from the center to the outside, and then it's blasted off into outer space. And that's kind of how that works. They tell me that it takes a while for the energy to get out there. A million years to get from then it goes back and forth and it kind of gets confused, but eventually some of it gets out and that's what happens. The average distance of the sun from the earth is 150 million kilometers. That's about, it's even further to Winnipeg, isn't it? Well, who'd want to go to Winnipeg? Surface temperature is around 5,500 degrees Celsius. Make a cup of tea with that. And the core temperature is 15 million degrees. Well, I'm astounded by that. You don't seem to be too impressed. Around the equator, it's 1.4 million kilometers. And that's about... Oh, I see that... Vincent is coming in here right now, and come on up here and take over, because I'm kind of running out of stuff to say. Well, thank you, Cedric. That's really fine. I appreciate what you've done there.
Well, did I cover it all right?
Well, I think you did okay, but I don't want to be critical on Father's Day of all days, but I thought, you know, you got into a lot of technical stuff there, and that's okay, too. But really, what we're kind of looking here for, Cedric, is kind of a poetic motivation, a quest, that would be it, a quest to find our place in this mystery, a mystery of our existence, you might say. Try to avoid some of these ideas and philosophies and theories and rules that have been kind of stuck on us here by other sources, the supernatural beliefs and the oversimplifications of all of this that's around us by saying, by somebody writing a book and calling it something and saying, this is the law and this is everything that there is and you can't think beyond that. So it's just sort of looking at sun and all of that and saying, hey, it just is. Don't try to describe it. It just is. It's like when you have a disagreement with one of your teenage children. What's the point? Going beyond that, it just is. And then we begin to wonder about this mystery and how this imagination of ours, even our imagination itself, is a mystery. And try to explain that and put that down into a series of little rules and put it into a box. Imagine trying to do that. But if you ever did imagine, has anyone here, I wonder, ever imagined about taking a ride on a spaceship? Has anyone ever done that? Are you with me here? Yes, hallelujah. Well, you don't have to imagine that because you are on a spaceship. This little round ball that we call Earth, at this present moment, at this very second, as you take a breath or exhale, whatever you're doing, is flying around at about 100,000 kilometers an hour. Wow. I have a Chev Impala that won't even do that. So there you go. You are on a spaceship. But you know, we don't notice these things for some reason or other because we get taken up with all of our daily duties and all of the concerns that we have of the smallness and the importance of things that we give importance to. Shopping at Costco, that's got to be important. Dollarama, yeah, that's great. And all of those other things that happen in our lives, and we fail to notice what we notice. We let things go by, and we pay little heed to this one thing. Out there, we call it the sky, but I guess that's as good a term as any. But out there in the vastness of creation, in whatever realm that would be, the sustaining source of our existence, sun. Now, in practical terms, I suppose you could use the word function. Someone would say, what is the function of the sun? And if you're seeking the function of the sun, I hate to destroy your journey of exploration, but the sun has no function. You see, my way of looking at the sun, not directly, of course, is that the sun has no function. The sun is. The sun has effect, but not function. The sun has radiance, but no real function, other than effect. Now, let me ask you this morning, in your wisdom, what are some of the effects of sun? Tell me. Yes, it makes plants grow. Does it make plants grow, or do plants grow because of the sun?
What else does sun provide? What are some of the other effects? Pardon me? Yes, the cycle of water. Evaporates water and water falls as rain. What else? You have to speak up.
Warmth.
Oh, yes, that's nice. Warmth is good. I'm really stretching you here this morning, aren't I? You know, you should have had 2 cups of coffee before we started. All right, then, let me help you out. Surely, this radiance provides us with heat and light and energy. It creates our weather, like it or not. This morning, beautiful sunny skies, wind. Last night, a marvelous thunderstorm that boomed and banged around in a beautiful rain. All there because the water was evaporated, it cooled and fell to the earth. Sun also creates song titles. On the sunny side of the street, keep on the sunny side. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine, and so on. Sunny days, well, that's Trudeau, sorry. Or was it Sunny Ways? Yes. So we get song titles, and we also appreciate the sun because sun provides us with mood. I remember last winter, it wasn't a bad winter, but there was a series of several days where it was very cloudy, gloomy, on and on and on. And I don't know about you, but a lot of people, like myself, are affected by this sad effect. And finally, one day, the skies opened up in the morning, and the sun was shining, and I noticed in myself how much better I felt. And then going out into the community of people, shopping or meeting people on the street, everyone has just sort of had been lifted, elevated to a higher plane because of the natural sunlight. But there is one more thing. Oh, and there are many, many other things, but there's one really, really important thing about sun. And it isn't even on a philosophical level. Does anyone want to take a wild guess here? It heats everything. Yes, but the sun's most powerful force is its orbital control.
Yeah.
We are spinning around the sun, and it keeps us in place. It's kind of like Mother in that way. Now, if the sun, for some reason or other, or for some consequence, was to be reduced in mass or expanded in mass, however that would happen, I don't know. That's part of the wonder. But even some small variance in the size and the mass of the sun and the effect on the gravitational forces in the universe would send us off a little bit this way or a little bit this way. Either way, you would have warming or cooling of the earth. Wow. And we never even think about that thing up in the sky very much. It's no wonder when you look back in history, and the other thing I like to observe is the connection that we have to all living things, but particularly in this case to all of the creatures of the human being. Even to our earliest ancient people, they lived every day with awareness of the natural force of sun. And it's no wonder that they created ceremonies and programs and activities that would reflect, if you like to use that word, that's a good one, reflect on the importance and the value of sun. Now, just how big is sun? I invested a lot of money here for this presentation this morning. Oh, a little bigger, I think, isn't it? A little bigger than that. Let us imagine that this is sun. sun, we think, is sort of... Well, you know, the old way of thinking was that sun went around us. The earth was the center of the universe. I have a brother-in-law who thinks he's the center of the universe. That was the old way. And those who thought differently were persecuted. They were beaten and tortured and burned at the stake and separated into four pieces and thrown to the four corners of the world because they disagreed with natural law. But there is the sun. Now, using your imagination, I'd like you to go to your sugar bowl at home and take out one grain of sugar and put it on the tip of your finger. And there, that is earth. And that is sun. So actually, in the scale of things, we, as humans, on this planet, are mere specks. And our planet is a tiny little speck compared to the sun. And even the sun itself, placed in the millions of galaxies, is a tiny speck. That's life. I thought of some ways to describe this, but I was going to use the of the solstice. The solstice, I thought of using the example of a clock. 12 o'clock is winter solstice, 6 o'clock is summer solstice. But then I realized that very few people have clocks that have numbers on them. Everybody's got digital. Now, I like a clock that's got numbers on it, but a lot of kids, if you tell them it's 9:45, they have no idea what you're talking about. And so, I thought, rather than going with a clock, I'll go with a pizza. And a round pizza. Now, you can buy a square pizza, but we'll go with a round one here because everything in the universe goes around. And here we go, at top of the pizza, when you have it on the table there, that's the winter solstice. And the bottom of the pizza, if you cut it, that's the summer solstice. So the year is divided in half. But yet, there's two other things. At 3 o'clock, or at the other line on the pizza, when you cut it into four pieces, that is the spring equinox. And over on the other side is the autumnal, or fall equinox. So now we have this year divided into four pieces of almost exactly the same size, which is fair. And there we can mark our life in the whole cycle of the year. Pardon me. And so when you think of the sun and its place in the universe and our journey around the sun, in this way it's taken in four cycles, in the four season, Vivaldi. Now here we have an advantage. If you go to the equator, the solstice and the changing of the seasons is no big deal. Sun gets up, it's pretty well the same place every day, and it sets pretty well the same place every day. A 12-hour day with a few minutes on either side depending on the season. But the slow drama that takes place in the northern hemisphere is astounding. Here in Regina and in Prince Albert, the difference and the location of the sun in the winter, it's amazing. And if you go up, well, for example, I was in Dawson City a few years ago on June the 22nd. Now, Dawson City is a very small place, but they have a large hill right behind the city near the Klondike River. You can drive up there, and we went up on June the 22nd. And watched the sunset. And, it was bright around midnight. And all of a sudden, the sun began to go into the horizon. But it didn't go all the way down. It's kind of skittered along the horizon. You could just see the top edge of the sun skittering along the horizon for, 15 or 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden, up comes the sun again. Amazing. Land of the midnight sun. On the other hand, in December, you hardly ever see the sun, just a few hours of sun during the day. So the ancients had this awareness, this tremendous awareness of the power, and they lived and survived by knowing the cycles of the sun. They lived this by knowing the cycles of the trees and the birds and the bugs. Even today, our farmers watch the sky, and they watch the land, and they watch the geese arriving, and they know. And in the northern regions, the people who are making their living trapping and fishing on the lakes, they watch very carefully. Somehow or other, this awareness of knowing about these very natural and ordinary things has been suppressed. And we've lost touch with this awareness of noticing these things that we should notice. And much of that has been thought to be of pagan origin, pagan belief, and there are certain control factors in our society, which I won't mention by name, but they do not desire that we have this awareness. But bonfires were a very important part of the celebration, observation, or whatever word you want to use for solstice. The bonfires were lit in celebration, particularly in winter, to remind sun to come back, because there was a fear that sun was going away and would not come back. That's a rather irrational but a very appropriate belief. Bonfires are lit in the summer solstice to drive away the evil spirits and to frighten the dragons that were alleged to be poisoning the wells and springs. I'm not sure how they did that, but I don't want to think about it. Now, here in modern times, there are very simple celebrations in a neighborhood called Fremont in Seattle, Washington State, in the United States of America. They have a great arts festival where they want to expose the freedom of the arts and all the different forms of arts for the solstice celebration. And they have a parade displaying arts and several body parts as well. And in between the old and the new, we have things such as in Ireland, in Northern Ireland, where they have deemed this to be the day of private reflection. On the solstice day in summer, the people of Northern Ireland, singularly or as groups of people, gather and consider the troubles and the conflict. In North and Central Europe, there's a celebration of various forms, but under the umbrella of Midsummer. And mentioned earlier today about National Aboriginal Day, where the First Nations and Inuit and Métis people of this country are finally finding their voice. Their voice never went away, it just was hidden for a long time. And now they're being able to find their voice. In Asian countries for the summer solstice, China and Korea and Japan, they have another umbrella celebration for the day, and it's, I think the common expression is Hachi. And then in France, the one that really interested me was a day they refer to as Fête de la Musique. That is the festival of music. There's a bit of a play on words there because they also use the word fifth, F-A-I-T-E, which is to make music. And so the celebration in France and now the other countries that have adopted is to take the music onto the streets. No amplifiers, nothing that you can plug in, just people singing and playing instruments and dancing and celebrating music on the streets. What a great idea. Something we could do here, I would think, because we do have a lot of music. If I have a fear or a concern, pardon me, it's that what will happen to solstice is what has happened to Christmas and Easter and Canada Day and everything else is a commercialization of happy solstice t-shirts and happy solstice greeting cards. And go to Dollarama. My goodness. You can tell that you don't need a calendar. All you have to do is go to Dollarama and say, oh, it must be fall, because they have all this Halloween junk up, even though it is July. And then this, of course, is followed by their Christmas stuff. And this is followed by St. Patrick's. And this is followed by Easter. So you just go in there and you know the seasons. I think they should call Dollarama Four Seasons. That would be my fear, that they would take something as important and as natural and valid to our whole being, the sun, and make it into a commercial. Well, time marches on. Cedric was talking about sun, all of its properties, and so on. I can wear these glasses, and I can see the sun. And when I wear these glasses, because they have a special filter, I see the sun as a little ball in the sky about that big. Amazing that that little ball can mean so much. But you don't need these glasses to see the sun. No, I'm not suggesting you look at the sun directly, because that will cause serious damage to your eyes. But look around. Is there one thing that exists in our lives that is not in some way the product of the power of sun? One thing. I can't think of one thing. Perhaps you can. Imagine if the sun were all of a sudden to cease in its nuclear explosions. I'm Peter Mansbridge, and this is the National. Well, we have just received a report from the National Observatory indicating that the sun has gone out. And because it takes 8 minutes for the light, radiance, and power of sun to reach Earth, you now have 6 minutes and 34, 33, 32, or, well, never mind, seconds before the light of the sun ceases to exist. We here at the CBC, and message received from the federal government, urge you to get your video device, run outside, and get a video of this event so you can be sure to put it on Facebook. Well, that may sound a little silly, but think about that, the 8-minute miracle that reaches us every day. So let's do one thing, perhaps, and consider this. Rather than just having the light around us and not being totally aware of it, let's make it very personal. And you can do this simply by, when you wake up in the morning, or from a nap, but in the morning, before you open your eyes, just lay in bed and realize your breath. And your breath is the sun. And as you breathe, feel your heart. Your heart is your breath, and your breath is the sun. And as you feel your heart, realize that you have conscious awareness and you are thinking. And you are thinking because your heart is putting blood into your brain, because your heart is taking breath, and your breath is the sun. What a treasure we have. And once you open your eyes and look about you, make yourself aware that everything that you see, everything that you touch, everything that you feel or smell or hear is the result of this tremendously powerful rather innocuous but still powerful sun. And here it is time to appreciate and to acknowledge these things. And perhaps this awareness, with every breath that you take, will give you a sense of awareness of the other things in your life too. The other people, the other things that occur to you, and the influence that you have on other people. So, with every breath you take, then, every day is Sunday. Well, Cedric, how did I do? Did I make that pretty sort of maybe kind of clear-like?
Well, yeah, I guess you did all right there, Vince, my boy.
Well, Cedric, do you have, after all of that, do you have some kind of a way that you think that you'd like to observe or celebrate the solstice?
Yeah, I like that thing you said there. I think what I'm going to do for Solstice Day is I'm going to order a pizza.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Now I believe it's time, from what I remember, if anybody would like to say something, make a comment. If you have any technical questions, you'll have to ask Cedric, because I'm not scientifically inclined.
I'm not sure, but at Stonehenge, didn't they, the summer solstice, they had it pinpointed, the rocks, exactly to the time, the longest day? And then I just heard that that wasn't English at all. It was Welsh, and I didn't hear how that could be. Did you?
Well, you know, so much of the past, pardon me, I'm going to get a little drink here. Wayne gave me a glass, and I want to be sure to use it. So much of that is wrapped up in mystery and allocating times and people's cultural celebrations. The Stonehenge, for example, in Wiltshire, England, is a very important point of observation. Similarly, in Ireland, there is celebrations and markings in many of the stones there. I had the opportunity to put in place a stone circle, which was mentioned. It's at St. Michael's Retreat up on the hill. And I figured that all out in my little head, and I got all the stones there, and we put them up on the hill. And Hillary, you were part of that. And then I thought I would do some research, so I started reading about the Irish culture, and I realized that I had copied what had been done by the Irish people thousands of years ago. I thought, my family being Irish, I thought, now how did that happen? So I don't think there's any really definitive, because the solstice is universal. It's like ravens.
I don't know if it was a Welsh thing, but I do remember reading that the stones themselves came from Wales, and they dragged them across the country to where they are today.
It's like the pyramids. Nobody knew.
Yeah.
Could understand the physics of that.
Aliens. Someone else have a comment or question?
Thank you. That was lots of fun and some good laughs.
Thank you.
So I really appreciated that part of it. But something I really also appreciated was Cedric. Often when I hear something poetic or cultural and that, I like that. But boy, I really like it if it recognizes the scientific context that I live in. And so I appreciated the way you put that together. And yeah.
It's a good old left brain working there for you.
Anyone else?
I'm always good for a word or two. I've harped on this before in a presentation I did, but there's this super good website called Astronomy Picture of the Day, and every day NASA.
I'm sorry, David. What is it called?
APOD. APOD. Astronomy Picture of the Day, and every day NASA puts up videos or pictures of astonishing things, And one of them is, one I've seen is like the sun just boiling away, just the surface of the sun. And a video, it's like, oh my God, just blasting away constantly.
Yes.
Anyway, amazing stuff.
Yeah. I cook bacon like that. Just banging away there. But that's, if I may just wait for a second. The thing now is that when you go back to our ancient people, thousands and thousands of years ago, and we say, look at us now, we have all this technology, we have the internet, we have the sites that David is mentioning, we have all this blah, 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 blah. These people sat, and they looked, and they studied, and they observed, and they had this wealth of knowledge here and here, and they had it connected. And we have a disconnect, I believe, in that way. And they passed that information on from generation to generation. For thousands of years, this was gained knowledge, a massive accumulation of knowledge. But it was not only knowledge, it was also wisdom. And I think looking at some of these sites on the internet, we gain knowledge, but we don't gain wisdom. And the wisdom is gained from being out there in that place called Earth and noticing what you notice.
I recall summer of 85, Jane and I visited Israel and Egypt. And while we were in Egypt, we went down to the Abu Simbel temple on Lake Nasser. And originally, at the day of the solstice, the light would come into the temple and go into the inner sanctum called the Holy of Holies. And when they were going to create Lake Nasser, the temple was going to be flooded. So there was a huge international campaign to raise enough money to actually dismantle it and raise it above so that it would still be there. And now it's one day after the solstice that the lake enters the temple. But once you visited the temple, they then take you into the back of it so that you can see that it's actually reconstructed over this huge globe inside. Mm. Quite fascinating.
Yes.
So that even though many of these ancient structures were built on the astronomy of the day or whatever, because of the thousands of years that have passed, they're probably no longer exactly oriented as they were at the time they were constructed.
I'd just like to say that I think you're a wonderful, wonderful storyteller, and you brought the sun into my heart today with that presentation.
Well, thank you.
I think that's it. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, Wayne. Thank you all very much.
Great story.
Bye-bye.
Time.